We left off three lines on the bottom page on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Va'amar Rabbi Bar Bachana. Rabbi Bar Bachana says, "Kiava Azlinon Basreid Rabbi Yochanan." When I used to follow Rabbi Yochanan around, which was a thing, people used to follow the rabbis around and watch their every behavior and see what they can glean from them, what they can learn from them. Kiava Bay Lemele Beisakise. When he had to go to the bathroom, Kiava Nakat Sifra Dagadita Avayavlan. If he was holding a sefer, he would give me the sefer before he went into the bathroom. Sounds reasonable. You don't want to bring a sefer into the bathroom, right? That's why they put water fountains right outside of bathrooms. So you have a place to rest your sefer when you go into the bathroom. He have a nuk at tefillin, but if he had tefillin, lava yavlan, he wouldn't give it to me. He didn't give me the tefillin when he went into the bathroom, meaning he went into the bathroom with his tefillin. Why would he do that? Because of what we learned yesterday. We learned yesterday that you're allowed to do it. So he said, if I'm allowed to, I'm going to insist on it. Amar hol v'sharunu rabbanon. Why is a good question. Here it is. Ninatran. What does ninatran mean? Says Rashi. Yishmeruni. Achniseim imi v'yishmeruni min ha-mazikin. I will bring them in with me because they will protect me from the mazikin. They will protect me from all the negative spiritual forces that can be found all the time in bathrooms. So I'd rather have that extra level of shmira by bringing my tefillin into the bathroom. The Rabbeinu Yonah quotes a girsa that hol v'shari rabbanan lo nitrach. Not that ninatran, that they will guard me, but lo natriach, I don't like asking people for favors. So bad enough, I have to ask people for a favor to watch my sefer when I go into the bathroom. I don't want the talmidim to have to watch my tefillin for me when I go into the bathroom. V'yesh svarim shagarsin osal ninatran, kolomar yishmer osal min amazikin. V'yesh mefarshim eshmer osam ani ba'atmi. And some say that, no, ninatran means I don't trust anybody else to watch my tefillin. I'd rather watch it myself. So if I'm allowed to bring it into the bathroom and I get to be the one that protects it, I'm going to be the one that protects it. I want to bring it into the bathroom. So three different pshatim. You have Rashi pshat, two additional pshatim in Rabbi Yonah, why it is that he insisted on bringing his tefillin into the bathroom. Amar Rava, Rava says, you should know, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't the only great gadol who insisted on this. Ki avazin basreid Rav Nachman, I used to follow Rav Nachman around all the time. Ki avanaket sefer dagadita, yoivlan. If he had a sefer agadita, he'd give it to me before he went into the bathroom. Ki avanaket tefillin, lo yoivlan. He would not give me his tefillin. Amar hol v'sharunu rabbanan, ninatran. Since the rabbanan allow it, I'm going to insist on it. Since the rabbanan allow me to wear my tefillin in the bathroom, I would rather do that than have someone else watch it for me. Period. Main point number one, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Nachman were makbid to bring their tefillin into the bathroom so that it could protect them from mazikin. At least that's why Rashi explains, so that it could protect them from mazikin. And the bathroom, we know, is a place where there are lots of mazikin. So we could add this to the list of things that we know that are effective to ward off mazikin. What else do we know is effective to ward off mazikin? Kriyas Shema Lamita. Torah. Having multiple people, not being alone, going during the
nowadays when an elite says
daytime rather than nighttime, right? There are different things that okay.
Outside of
Chorva is where there are mazikin, right? It doesn't tell you how to protect
them.
Oh, right, stay out of the Chorva. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a brisa. Lo yachzodim tefillin biyado v'sefer Torah b'zro v'yispalel. One should not hold tefillin in his hand or a sefer Torah in his arm and daven. Why not? What's the problem? I would think those are very appropriate things to hold in your hands when you're davening. Says Rashi, she'ein da'atum yushevas lev b'tefillah shari libo tamid alei and shalipil miyado. These are things people are afraid to drop. So you're not going to be having too much kavana in your tefillah if you're going to be thinking about dropping these things. So you're not supposed to hold things that you're afraid to drop while you're davening. So I'm not really reading my texts right now while I'm davening, but I have my phone in my hand. No good, because most people are afraid to drop their phone. They don't like driving them, although now they have these nice cases that, you know, you could drop them and nothing's going to happen, it seems. So most people are not so afraid to drop their phones. But you know what a good example of this might be? A child or a baby. Most people do not like to drop babies. But a kid comes into shul and he's crying. And what does Tati do? He picks up the kid and continues to daven Shemoneh Esrei. No, probably not the best thing to do. Probably better to pick up the kid and walk out with him so he doesn't disrupt everybody else. But he's not supposed to daven holding something that you're afraid to drop. Another halacha. One may not urinate wearing his tefillin, nor may one take a nap, whether it's a long nap or a short nap, wearing his tefillin. Asks Rabbeinu Yonah a very fundamental question. You know, there is an issur, a person is not allowed to be masiach das in his tefillin. So if you're not allowed to be masiach das in your tefillin, isn't it obvious you're not allowed to sleep in your tefillin? What does masiach das mean?
Your mind off the
order. Yeah, take your mind off of it. So
if you're still wearing it, your mind will be on whatever your dreams will be about whatever you
Not necessarily. I don't know about you, but my dreams are not always predictable. So the I don't remember how this came up, but Rav Shechter told me he never remembers his dreams. I don't remember why that came up. Okay. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, so you're in good company. V'yesh lish al Rabbeinu Yonah again in the comments, he says, I don't get it. Hesach Hadas is also in tefillin. Of course you're not allowed to sleep in your tefillin. So he says, we have to understand Hesach Hadas differently. Hesach Hadas does not mean that you happen to not be thinking about your tefillin. It means schok, kalus rosh. You're thinking about things that are widely inappropriate to be thinking about while you're wearing your tefillin. That's what Hesach Hadas means. Hesach Hadas is not lack of kavanah in the tefillin, it's anti-kavanah of the tefillin. It's the worst kinds of kavanah. So you're sleeping and you're not dreaming in your shrier, so you don't remember anything. There's not a thought that's going through your head while you're sleeping. So that would be perfectly fine. If not for the fact that we have a separate issur, lo shinus kav, lo shinus harai, because of a concern, shami yafiach ben, or whatever the concerns might be.
If we're worried about dropping something while we're davening, then why do people hold the siddur when
they're... Shulchan Aruch talks about it. Good. Yeah, so because that aids you in the tefillah itself. So something that's necessary for the tefillah itself, even a lulav we allow, right? So that is something that's for the tefillah itself. Okay.
That's why you extend it.
That's why you can't, you probably can't say that it's usher to use a sitter app and daven from your phone on the grounds that you're afraid to drop it, because it's more like a sitter where it wouldn't be usher on those grounds. It may be usher on other grounds, but not on those grounds. Okay, Rav Asher Weiss just came out with a tshuva about it. He's makel, but others are not so happy about it. Amar Shmuel, sakenu ma'us ukara v'kikar harei l'keyotzibad. Knives and money and plates and loaves of bread, all these things are similar in the sense that people don't like dropping these things, and therefore you should not hold these things while you are davening. Amar Rav Amar Sheshes, les hilchsa kemas nisa. Actually, before we get to that, main point number two, one shouldn't go to the bathroom or sleep in his tefillin, nor hold anything valuable while davening. Now, Amar Rav Am Rav Sheshes, les hilchsok yamas nisa to be shamayi. We don't paskin like this thing that we said that one is not allowed to urinate in your tefillin, because that's only be shamayi who holds that you're not allowed to urinate in your tefillin. Di beis hillel, because if we're going to follow the beis hillel, if you remember what we learned yesterday, hashta beis akise kavua shari, remember beis hillel allows even a beis akise kavua, that you're allowed to hold your tefillin into a beis akise kavua. So Besa Kise Arai Mi Bayi. So a person only goes into Besa Kise Arai just to urinate. So certainly that's going to be mutter. So it can't be that the issur to urinate in your tefillin was said by Beis Hillel. It can only have been said by Beis Shammai. Asks the Gemara Meisve, I'll ask on that. You know, there is a saying that was accepted, that Dvarim Sheitarti L'Chakan Asarti L'Chakan, that there's something that is mutter over here is usher for you over there. That which I was matir for you here, I usher for you over there. What was that vague and enigmatic phrase about? Dvarim she'tarti l'chakan, asarti l'chakan. My love tefillin? Isn't that a comment about tefillin and bathrooms? And it's saying as follows, that which I did not allow in a beis hakiseh kavua, that which I did allow in a beis hakiseh kavua, I do not allow in a beis hakiseh arai, which is somewhat strange. The Gemara is going to deal with it. You're allowed to have your tefillin in a beis hakiseh kavua, but you may not have your tefillin in a beis hakiseh arai, even though beis hakiseh kavua is a much more disgusting place. So, iam bishlam beis hillel, if beis hillel holds that you're allowed to have your tefillin in a beis hakiseh arai, by a urinal, let's call it a urinal, hitarti l'chakan kavua, So I understand the statement. I allow your tefillin in a stall in the bathroom. I do not allow your tefillin in a urinal. So it's ironic, strange that that when you're by a place where you only urinate, that that's going to be more problematic to have your tefillin. But that's what Beis Hillel would be saying. Eliyam Beis Shammai. But if Beis Hillel would allow having your tefillin in a Beis HaKisei Arai, and it's only Beis Shammai who doesn't allow it, Halo Shar V'Lamide. Well then, Beis Shammai never allows it anywhere. He doesn't allow tefillin in a Beis HaKisei Kavur, nor in a Beis HaKisei Arai. So what in the world does that statement mean? Dvarim She'etati L'Chalkan, Esati L'Chalkan. Essentially what the Gemara is saying is, this phrase, Dvarim She'etati L'Chalkan, Esati L'Chalkan, only makes sense if Beis Hillel forbids you from bringing tefillin into a Beis HaKisei Arai. Right? You get that? It only makes sense if Beis Hillel forbids you from bringing tefillin into a Beis HaKisei Arai. Because then he's saying, even though I allow it in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, I disallow it in a Beis HaKisei Arai. Says Gemara, no, maybe that statement is not about Beis HaKisei at all. It's not about tefillin at all. Kitanya hi, maybe what that statement's actually about is the inyan tefach u'tefachayim, is with regard to how much of your body one is allowed to expose when they go to the bathroom, or one is supposed to expose when they go to the bathroom. We have one braisa that says, when one goes to the bathroom, he should expose one tefach behind him and two tefachim in front of him. We have another braisa that says, that one should expose one tefach behind him and nothing in front of him. So my love, idivi idiba ish. Aren't we to assume that both Bryces are talking about men? They're both talking about men going to the bathroom. Below kasha, kan legadolim, kan lekatanim. How do we explain the discrepancy and how much of the body one is permitted to expose? It depends what you're doing in the bathroom. If it's gedolim or katanim. So says Gemara, wait. So which Bryce is talking about katanim? The one that says that you expose a tefach behind you is talking about ketanim, v'tizbra, ibe ketanim la'achrav tefach lamali. Why would a man need to expose anything behind him when he's going to the bathroom, when he's to do ketanim? So eli idividi b'gedolim. No. Both prices must be talking about gedolim. V'lokasha habi ish, habi isha. But biologically, men, women are different, and therefore they have to expose different parts of the body in different amounts when they go to the bathroom. Ihachi, if that's the case, hadiktani Allah. So if that's what Dvarim Sheitati L'Chakan Esati L'Chakan means, meaning what are we saying it means now? Dvarim Sheitati L'Chakan Esati L'Chakan, that which I allowed for a woman, I aser for a man, right? If that's what it means, well, the next line in that brisa is Zehu Kal V'Chomer She'ein Olav Tshuva. That this is a kal v'chomer to which there is no response. Meaning, you're going to ask on this, that if it's a kal v'chomer, that if a woman's allowed to do this, a man's got to be allowed to do this. So how could you be more strict in one than the other? That's ridiculous. What do you mean a kal v'chomer? They're different. Men, women are different from each other. See, if it's about a Beis HaKisei, you're comparing a Beis HaKisei Kavua to a Beis HaKisei Arai, so I get it, that you're going to say a kal v'chomer. I'm going to tell you, you know what, I allow you to bring your tefillin to Beis HaKisei Kavua, but not a Beis HaKisei Arai. Then you're going to jump down my throat and you're going to yell at me and you're going to say, kal v'chomer! If you're allowed to bring it into Beis HaKisei Kavua, kal v'chomer, you should be allowed to bring it in the Beis HaKisei Arai. And that conversation makes sense. You're going to give me a kal v'chomer. I don't really have an answer to that kal v'chomer. That's a strong kal v'chomer. But if the whole comment was only about men and women and how much of their body they're allowed to expose, what kind of kal v'chomer are you going to jump down my throat with? There's no kal v'chomer. What do you mean this is a kal v'chomer that's so strong? It was just explaining biological function of the human body. It has nothing to do with kal v'chomer. Elalav tefillin. So rather we have to go back to our original understanding. We're talking about tefillin, and we're talking about bringing it into a Beis HaKisei Kavua, and bringing it into a Beis HaKisei Arai. And therefore, when the statement was made, Dvarim she'etarti l'chakan, asarti l'chakan, what did that statement mean? I allow you to bring tefillin into a Beis HaKisei Kavua, and I do not allow it in a Beis HaKisei Arai. And that can only be Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel is the only one that allows it in a Beis HaKisei Kavua. Beis Shammai doesn't allow it anyway. So that could have only been said by Beis Hillel. That Beis Hillel holds allowed in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, not allowed in a Beis HaKisei Arai. But we started this whole line of discussion on the last skinny line with Amar Rav, Amar Rav Sheshes, that this whole thing was said by Beis Shammai, that the idea that you're not allowed to bring in a Beis HaKisei Arai was only Beis Shammai. But Beis Hillel does allow it. So according to what we're saying now, that's wrong. Beis Hillel does not allow tefillin in a Beis HaKisei Arai. Beis Hillel does allow tefillin in a Beis HaKisei Kavua. V'tiyufta d'Rav Amar Rav Sheshes, tiyufta. So that's it. Checkmate on Rav Amar Rav Sheshes. Mikol makom kasha. Says Gemara, but wait, you know, in the course of this whole conversation, we raised a point that we never really came back to. And that is that there is a Kal V'chomer that says that this is ridiculous. Beis Hillel says, I allow you to bring tefillin in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, but I don't allow, you know, I allow you to bring tefillin into a porta potty, but I don't allow it in a perfectly clean marble bathroom that has like whatever.
That's cleaned every hour.
Right. That doesn't make any sense. Kal V'chomer. Hashu Beis HaKisei Kavua, Shari Beis HaKisei Arei Kol Shkei. If we allow it in Beis HaKisei Kavua, we got to allow it in Beis HaKisei Arai. What on earth is going on here? How do we answer that? So, says Gemara Hachi Kamer. Here's how you answer it. Beis HaKisei Kavua, Delaka Nitzotzos Shari. If a person is making gedolim, there are not going to be any sprinkles of urine that gets all over his legs or anything that he's going to need to wipe up. And therefore, his hands will be free to hold his tefillin. Beis HaKisei Arai, Dika Nitzotzos Asri. But a Beis HaKisei Arai, where there are going to be nitzotzos, there are going to be sprinkles, where he's going to need his hands accessible, so that's where we asur it. So that's why it makes sense. It's not that a Beis HaKisei Kavua is not as dirty as a Beis HaKisei Arai. It's much dirtier. It's much worse. But in terms of being able to hold something while you're in there, Beis HaKisei Kavua, you're more able to hold something. Frak the Gemara, wow, that's a great answer to that Kal V'chomer. It's a little bit strange then that when we said that Kal V'chomer, we called it a Kal V'chomer She'ena Lav Tshuva. What does Kal V'chomer She'ena Lav Tshuva mean? Right. Kal V'chomer that there's no answer to. And guess what we just did? We just gave a really good answer. Says Gemara, Iyachi, am I Eina Lav Tshuva? So why is it Eina Lav Tshuva? So Gemara says, well, Tshuva Ma'al, after all, Tshuva Ma'al Yisihi. It's a really strong Tshuva. Now, Hachi Kamer, this is what we mean to say. Hamil Sala Tesla B'Torah's time of Lo Tesla B'Kal V'chomer. The answer to Kal V'chomer is Kal V'chomer Shneil of Tshuva. What we mean to say is, if you're going to view it purely from the perspective of which Beis HaKisei is more gross, we can't answer that. Meaning, you're right, the Beis HaKisei Kavua is always going to be more gross. We need to bring in another factor. The only way to answer this Kal V'chomer is by bringing in another factor. Namely, what factor? The nitzotzos, the accessibility of your hands to be able to do other things. Without bringing in that other factor, then this Kal V'chomer would have been checkmate. This Kal V'chomer would have been end of story. We wouldn't have had a response to this Kal V'chomer. But that's why we bring in that other factor. Main point number three. A person can reveal a tefach in the back and two in the front for a male, but a female, one in back and none in front. One tefach in back and none in front. Okay, that was the tough part. Now the slightly easier part of the dach. Tana Rabba. Bryce tells us as follows. A person goes into a sudas keva. He's going to have a proper meal. And, you know, when you're having a meal, it's like uncomfortable to go to the bathroom in the middle of the meal. You're having a big party, a lot of people. Yeah, you don't want to get up from the table and go to the bathroom in the middle of the meal. So you want to go before. But you don't have to go yet. So what do? How does one promote bowel movement? Mahalech asar pa'am dalet amos. Take 10 short walks of 4 amos each. Oh, if you don't like that option, dalet pa'am yod amos. Take 4 slightly longer walks of 10 amos each. I don't know why dafka those numbers. Why can't you just take one long walk of 40 amos? I don't know. But you do that, that will promote bowel movement. V'yifna, you go to the bathroom, v'achach nichnas, then you'll be all ready to go for your meal on an empty stomach. It will be awesome. Amrab Yitzchak. You're going to Sudas Keva, you should take off your tefillin before you go in. But that's against Rabbi Chiya. Dam Rabbi Chiya manichan al shulchano. And Rabbi Chiya says, no, put it on the table. You don't have to take it off before you go in. Put it down on the table. And then you could put it back on. When do you leave it off until? you just leave it off until the time for benching, and then you can put it back on for benching. Tani chada. Actually, main point number four. Before a meal, a person should take a walk and go to the bathroom. And take off his tefillin. Just a question of where he takes off his tefillin, but take off his tefillin. Now we'll talk about where you put your tefillin when you take them off, in terms of is there any kedusha to the item that you're wrapping the tefillin in? You wrap up your tefillin in a bag, in a cloth. Does that cloth become holy?
Didn't we say yesterday there was a difference if it's kli shel tefillin and it's kli shel tefillin?
Yeah, that was in terms of whether that kli has the ability to protect it from its surrounding area. Now we're talking about the actual kedusha of the kli. So tani chada, sar adam tefillin in ma'usa bapar kasuso. A person can wrap his tefillin together with his money in his turban. So he's got this nice turban on his head. He could unwrap it and in his wrap his tefillin with his money.
We had these turbans last year with Buster did an illusion with, like, before he
got married.
Before he wrapped his turban, he
took his son to the Beis Medrash. Yeah, v'tani idach lo yatzur. The other bride says, no, don't put your tefillin together with your money in your turban. Lokasha, hadazmane, hadalazmane. It's not a stira. One is talking about where the turban had been designated not to wear as a hat anymore, but it had now been designated specifically for tefillin. So once it's designated specifically for tefillin, do not put money in there. But if it was not designated specifically for tefillin, you can put money in there. Tamar of Chis, Rav Chis said, "Hai sudu to tefillin, daazmane lemetzer be tefillin." If you have a cloth that for tefillin that was designated specifically for tefillin, tsar be tefillin, and you actually used it for tefillin, then asa lemetzer be pshiti. Then you're not allowed to put coins in there. Meaning, in order for it to be asa to use for other things, you need two things: that you designated for tefillin, and that you actually at least used it once for tefillin. But if you designated it but you never used it, or tsarbe v'lazmane, you used it but you never designated it specifically for that use, shari the mitzvah basis, and then you're still allowed to use it for other things, still allowed to put money in there. That is one opinion. That's Rav Chisda. L'Abaye da'amar azmana milsehi, but Abaye thinks that just designating something for a specific purpose is enough to give it that status. Azmane apokav tsarbe, as long as you designated for tefillin, even if you didn't actually do anything about it. It would still have kedusha. You're still not allowed to put money in it. But sarbei, if you only used it but never designated it, so iazmene aser. If you used it and you designated it, it's aser. But ilo azmene lo. If you never designated it, then it's not going to be aser. So according to Abaye, it all depends on hazmana, all on designation. Exactly. Okay. So machloka, main point number five. Machloka is by a tefillin bag whether hazmana alone gives it kedusha. Next, Boyimine Rav Yosef Beredu Rav Nechunya May Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef Beredu Nechunya asked Rav Yehuda the following: Mar Shei Neichadum Tfilav Tachas Merash Yosef. Go to sleep at night and you want to put your tefillin under your pillow. Are you allowed to do that? Tachas Margalosav Lokami Bayali Shenoig Ben Minag Bizayon. Certainly, you cannot put it under your feet because that is a bizayon. That is degrading for the tefillin. Kikam Bayali Tachas Merash Yosef. Our whole shaila is: can you put it under your head? My, what's the din? Is that considered degrading to the tefillin or not? There are all these skulas of things that people put under their pillows when they don't want to have nightmares and they want to have this and that. Right? Can you put something that has actual kedusha under your head? So I'm like, Hach Yomer Shmuel, Mutter Afilu Ishto Imo. You're allowed to do it even if your wife is with you in bed. Meisve, asked the Gemara, wait a second. You sure about that? The other Bryce tells you not allowed to put it under your feet because it's Derech Bizayon. Fine, that fits. So if you're allowed to put it under your head, that also fits. But here's where it veers. But if your wife is with you, it's Aser. Then the Bryce just concludes. If you find a spot that's three tefachim elevated or three tefachim depressed in the ground, that's a mutter place to put it. That's considered its own separate makom. But bottom line is, we have a stira where the one is allowed to put the tefillin under their head when ishto imo. Says Gemara, tiyufta de Shmuel tiyufta. It's not a stira, it's a Bryce against Shmuel. So Shmuel's wrong. Shmuel said that you're allowed to with ishto imo. We see clearly that he's wrong. Aser. Tiyufta de Shmuel tiyufta. Amar Rava, Avogav de Tanya tiyufta de Shmuel, Hilchos Akavasei. Even though there's a tiyuf against Shmuel, we paskin like him. You're allowed to do it. My timer, why are you allowed to do it? Kol linturinu tvei adif. Anything that helps to protect the tefillin is better. So this is going to help you protect the tefillin. It's therefore automatically better, even though it may be a little bit of a bizayin. What's the obvious kash over here? What's the rule about tiyuftas? You know the rule about tiyuftas? There is a rule. The rule about tiyuftas is that whenever the Gemara says tiyufta, a double tiyufta, it means no way out. It's completely rejected la halacha. If it says tiyufta once, we might accept it la halacha. So over here we had a double tiyufta Shmuel. Tiyufta to Shmuel, tiyufta. In the very next line, we pass them like that. So first of all, where does that rule come from? Double tiyufta, single tiyufta? It is a Rashbam in Babasun and Gimlam Beis. Rashbam, Babasun, and Gimlam Beis gives us that rule. So the question all the Acharonim ask is, the Rashbam seems to be against our Gemara. So Maritz Chaya suggests, maybe when we say that you can't pass on like a double tiyufta, it means we can't, Rishonim can't, and Acharonim can't, but the Gemara is still allowed to pass on against the double tiyufta. It's just that Rishonim and Acharonim are not allowed to. Maybe.
Maybe it's like, sometimes we might have had a takana, but the rabbana made another takana overdoing a previous one, but it wasn't necessarily possible to do that in order to protect.
So meaning we don't really pass like Shmuel, but the point is calling the Turinu that we need to protect it. Meaning we do pass and it's a bizayon. It is a bizayon, but afal pi kein. Even if it's a bizayon, you need to do whatever you can to protect it. Maybe, okay. Stop there.